Let's open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just once again come before you this morning and lay our hearts open before you. And it is such a critical time in the history of the church, and a critical time for the acceleration of your perfect unfolding, of your glorious plan. And so, Father, we just thank you as we come before you this morning that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the spirit of clarity rests heavily upon us, that we might receive the things necessary for the days ahead, that we might be perfectly prepared. So we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. As Janine said, the title here will be The Days Ahead, Part 99. It's actually Part 7, but anyway, if you'll open your Bibles to John 16. Now, when I spoke the last time, I really had a deep perception that we were coming to the end the place where we'd been. You know, God has been dealing with us for years and years and years concerning fear, learning to walk by faith, learning to walk in the fullness of our provision in Christ. And in the days ahead, we are going to have to be a people who are abiding in the fullness of that provision. And it will become evident. And so in perceiving that the Father wants to move on, and he wants to disclose some of the things that are going to happen in the days ahead. And I want you to get this in your spirits. It's not going to be the same as it is now. We are a blessed people, and this is a blessed environment. But nonetheless, there's still been the testings and the trials, and of course the devil making one last futile attempt to stop the people of God worldwide throughout the body of Christ from entering into the position that God would have them in. But in the days ahead, the people of God, both individually and corporately, are going to truly enter into rest. And, you know, as we do, we are going to get a continually deeper revelation of what that means. Because what it means, and I'm going to deal with the scriptures here, what it means when we enter into rest is that we've ceased striving from our own works. And that only means one thing. That means God can be all that he wants to be in us and through us. And that is the key to the power in the church. People attempting to fulfill God's plan in their own strength, it's a futile effort, because at the very best, or very least, God is hindered and cannot do what he wants to do. And so the captives remain captive. And of course, Satan uses that to keep the image that the world has of the church at a very low level. But those days are going to change ahead for us, both individually and corporately. So, you know, as I go on with this, I have absolutely no idea how much he's going to have me do of this outline today, but I'm going to continue on with it. But I want you to get it in your spirit. We have taken a step in the spirit, and God wants to move on. And so we need to get our minds continually fixed on Jesus and fixed on the revelation of his word. Now in John 16, beginning verse 13, "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth." Yeah. Now, it's very, very important that, again, we understand that God is revealing himself in his absoluteness in this last hour. And so consequently, when we see a scripture like that, and we've read that for many years, we need to understand, as we allow the Holy Spirit to reveal it to us, that that is an absolute statement. When he says that the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth, then he means that. And so consequently, we don't have to have a fear of being deceived. We don't have to have a fear of being mistaken. We don't have to have a fear of mentally ascending to the Word of God in our own strength, as long as we seek him from a heart wholly given, and as long as we put ourselves in the position to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because it's God's responsibility to bring us to the place where we fulfill the fullness of our destiny in Christ. It's his responsibility. The biggest problem that looking back over the years that I've served God, any time that I had a problem, it was always when I was trying to serve God in my own strength. And of course, as you go on, it's not like you're conscious of that. But sometimes you can get out, if fear remains, and get out in your own strength. But God is raising up a church that's going to enter into rest and allow him to do what he wants to do. And what he wants to do is so glorious that there aren't words to describe it. So It's very, very important that we come to understand that these scriptures mean what they say. And then Jesus went on, he said, "For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come." So obviously God has made a provision for us to know the things to come. And we've seen that to a great degree. I remember in the early 80s when a lot of revelation came forth about the end times. Now, on the one hand, that was a good thing. But on the other hand, some people dealt with it very irresponsibly and started concentrating on things that were way out ahead. And in doing that, they forsook the holiness and the obedience that God required. And so many books were written, but not much anointing was going forth to help the people of God come into the fullness of their inheritance. In 1 John 2:27, the scripture also says, "The anointing which you receive from him abides in you." Now, it's very important that we come to the revelation that when God is dealing with us, these scriptures are written with the understanding that we are seeking and coming into the place of abiding in him, making our home with him and allowing him to make his home with us. It's extremely important because this whole last hour is coming down to one thing, and that's positioning. And it begins, first of all, with the positioning that we have with God in our daily time with him. And then, of course, as people put themselves in a position to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and do what he says, then corporately they will come into the right position. And, of course, as the days go on, it's going to be more and more important to be in the right place at the right time doing the right thing or the righteous thing. So that's extremely important. And that scripture also says, at the end it says, his anointing teaches you about all things. You got a question? Go to God first. Don't ever go to people first. That is if the motivation of a person's heart is always to go to people first, one, it can indicate laziness, but two, it can be an affixation to people instead of to God. And so when you're in a cave situation that God has put most all of us in, I would think, then that's where you learn to acknowledge him in all your ways. Because the things that God was revealing, that the preparation that he was bringing us through, you weren't going to hear that from other people. At the very best, or very least, God would confirm that maybe sometime down the road when he would reveal something. But the fact is, if you learn to acknowledge God in all your ways first and foremost, then he'll bring the people you need across your path. And that what they say will be a confirmation of what God has already placed in your heart. And that is a foolproof method to walk above error. I mean, if you'll do that faithfully, you will not be deceived. You will walk above error. The only way that error enters into a heart is because of a maintained rebellion. And so if we are faithful to fellowship with God, then he will deal in whatever way he has to deal with us, and we will walk with that third day clarity. There is an anointing on those who are truly walking and seeking first the kingdom that is clarity. We talked a bit about it Tuesday night. The fact is that when you see a prophecy come before you, there is a specific anointing, and when you look at it, you can understand that it's directly from the throne room. It's not tainted by any bitterness or any thing that's remaining in the heart of the person giving it. And so it's very important to realize that God is releasing revelation from the throne room in many ways, through teachings, through words of prophecy and so on, and you will be able to tell the difference as long as your heart's pure before God and you're not looking for something out of self-desire. It's a very simple process, but again, it's absolute. So we have to be in the right position. So that leads me to number one here, which are true spiritual environments. Now, as we go on with these things, you'll see that there's a number of chain reactions that will be caused by individual obedience in believers. And of course, when we talk about true spiritual environments, the first one we need to talk about is the time that God requires of each one of us in the body of Christ with him. Now, as I've said before in many teachings, it's extremely important for each individual believer to find out what God requires of them. This is not a doctrine that's coming out. This is just simply a need for each individual believer to get their priorities straight and come into that place of the inner chamber and fellowship with God. And there's some very, very important reasons for that. I mean, the whole thing rests on that. But in these days, right ahead, there's, and I'm going to talk about this, about acclimatization. I think that the one thing that came to me during the trip was this whole thing about acclimatization, because I had a very radical experience in Bolivia at 14,000 feet. And it was amazing, because I tried to get in the best shape I could and prepared. And of course, I had the advantage of being at 7,000 feet for the last while. But nonetheless, when that environment changed, I was not acclimated to it initially. And strangely enough, it took 6 days. And on the seventh day, which I, when I was just leaving, I was fine. But the fact is that acclimatization is a very, very important thing, and we're going to discuss that more in depth. So the first and foremost element when we're talking about true spiritual environments, again, is the inner chamber. And this is something I would like to take and stuff in everybody's heart, because everything, as I said before, rests on this in this last hour. Your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, your ability to be in the right position, your ability to discern what's coming forth, and in another sense, your ability to withstand the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's about to be released. It is not going to be a gradual process. The time is coming, and I don't know the time, but I know the season, and I know that we're nearing that season. And the fact is, in just the same way that I went from one environment to the next in one day, and suddenly, when I was acclimated in one environment, but in the one that I walked into, I wasn't. In that same way, it's very necessary for every Christian to take the steps in obedience to God, so that they can begin a deeper acclimatization process. And again, I'm going to deal with that more, but it's going to mean a lot. So, now, God wants to establish this true spiritual environment, and we look at these next three points here, and they can go for both the individual and for the corporate aspect of the church and gathering. Now, the first one, a place far above both the wiles and the destructive attacks of the evil one. You see, when you enter into God's presence and you're in that place in the throne room, the devil's not in there, you know. And so, you know, I urge people when the devil comes against them with an attack of confusion or whatever, you know, whatever he's trying to do with the thought process, get up into that clear blue sky. I think Kimmy preached on that. Get up into the clear blue sky in the throne room, in the inner chamber, and then you'll be far above the attacks of the evil one. And I remember in a particular time, I think it was about 5 years ago, and I was praying, and God showed me a vision, and I was in his presence, and I saw this giant blueprint, and it was detailed. I mean, it was the most detailed blueprint I'd ever seen. And what it was, I mean, I was sitting there with the Father and with Jesus, and I was looking down, and I instantaneously could see everything the devil was doing in the things that I was involved with at that time, you know, the people that I was praying for and so on. And it was an amazing sight. This is one of the benefits of the glorious church. We will have such an in-depth perception of what the devil is doing because of our position with God. And that's one of the aspects that will be much different these days. I mean, he's been hiding in corners, but as the church rises to her place of glory, then they, both individually and corporately, will be able to discern exactly what's going on and cut him down. And that's what we're doing. And it will be an intense warfare. And number two, the inner chamber, a place both ordered and sustained by revelation knowledge. When you enter into that true spiritual environment that God wants you in individually and corporately, it's going to be a place where revelation knowledge is born. And if you abide in that place, which we're all called to do, then we abide in revelation knowledge. And when you do that, you see, you're in a position where bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, bringing every thought captive to revelation, becomes a very smooth process. So it's extremely important. A place, number three, a place which shall be found to be impenetrable in any way, by any force, which has its origin apart from God's word and the Holy Spirit. Now this comes into, when we talk about the corporate gatherings of the church and everything from the cities of refuge to the schools or environments of the Holy Spirit for teaching and so on, then we understand that God wants to create environments where, number one, the enemy cannot penetrate. Now, the enemy can, I mean, for years, for 2,000 years, he's been attempting to penetrate the church and has to a great degree in many cases. But in these days, in the days ahead, the Father wants to establish environments where the whole environment is run by revelation knowledge. No self-desire, no self-effort, no self-will. Those things will not be able to enter in to the environment. And of course, these environments are going to grow daily in glory. And so in itself, it will be an environment that is kept from the devil's penetration. And not only kept from the devil's penetration, but there will be an environment from which we can see the devil's activity and control him through prayer and obedient action. And again, this fourth point here, there is a necessary acclimatization in the inner chamber and in the true corporate environments for those things which are about to overtake the true servants of God. And again, I mentioned earlier about the fact that the way it is now is not going to be the way it is in the future. As blessed as we are and as glorious as it's been, it is going to be a whole different ballgame. And that's why it's you know, again, we were talking on Tuesday night about it's such an intense time of training and testing and refining that's going on now. And, you know, I understand through my own experience how that can get and how frustration can arise or how despair or hopelessness, of course, hopelessness. These are the things that the enemy wants you to believe. And again, we talked about condemnation and the danger of that and how condemnation is simply the product, if you receive it, it's simply the product of allowing yourself to see yourself and your situation through the devil's eyes. And we're going to get to a point here that the Father wants to change that all about. Because another one of the very, very important things in this process of acclimatization in the presence of the Father and in the presence of Jesus is the fact that you will begin to see yourself and to see your situation and through revelation, your destiny through the eyes of the Father. And this is an extremely important thing because, you see, we're entering into a time wherein the words of faith that people speak and the actions done in faith are going to come to pass to a continually more accelerated degree. And also, on the other hand, those words that are still spoken in fear and death and so on, darkness, they are going to come to pass to a greater degree. And so it's a very dangerous thing. It always has been, actually. But thank God for his grace and his mercy. But now he's bringing his people to accountability. And the accountability is to his word. And again, one of the aspects, one of the deepest things in the Father's heart is that he wants the word of God, Jesus, to have, once again, have preeminence in the midst of his people. And, you know, all these false doctrines and all these foolish controversies, they all detract from the purity and the absoluteness and the magnificence of what he has done. And, of course, that will live on forever. But now the Father is calling his people to accountability. So it's extremely important that we again realize that this process of acclimatization will lead us into a deeper revelation of their character. And so point number two is the Father is going to reveal the depths of his character and fatherhood to a continually greater degree. Now, I really just think I could stop there and just preach on that till the Lord comes, because the fact of it is that the benefits of knowing him as he is and having a living relationship with him are endless. Amen. They are endless. I don't even know how people live without that. I mean, I know I was a complete mess before I had that revelation, and it grows deeper all the time, because when you love someone, you want to spend time with them. And the fact is that again, this is a whole study in itself. The fact is that when we get acclimatized to the Father's presence, and we begin to understand his heart, and all these lies that the devil has fed throughout our lives, you know, and perhaps through various authorities in our lives, even our own parents in some cases, they just fall away. Because he is who he is, and he will never change, and he is faithful, and he's true, and he's perfect. And he is, no matter what he does, no matter what he says in his dealings with us, it will be for our greatest eternal benefit all the time. And so there comes the need for us to have a revelation of trusting him. He is the only one that's trustworthy, and we need to just, you know, rise up above all the lies of the evil one and come into that place of perfect trust daily with him, because that will take you a long way towards where you're going in a hurry. And the devil fears that. Now, number three, the removal of the inferiority complex and sin consciousness that many of God's children have held to. Now, I over the years, God has given me a very concise revelation, at least from my own understanding of what sin consciousness is. But I know people have asked me that, and they say, well, what is that? And so this morning, this is what the Holy Spirit gave me, and I kind of like it, because, again, we're in the place where people, God loves all his children. Let's not misunderstand that. But we're coming to a place where only those whose hearts are wholly given and only those who make a conscious decision to receive his love and thus allow that love to cast out fear are going to go on. And it's, again, it's not that God doesn't love all his children, but he is raising up an elite army to absolutely devastate Satan. And that will be the catalyst for setting the vast multitudes of captives free. I'm telling you that the more I get into this, the more I realize how little, how few words I have, or how I could never possibly describe, you know, what is building in me. And I'm sure that goes for everybody else that's seeking first the kingdom and getting a revelation of the glorious church. Because we can say the words glorious church, but I'll tell you, the revelation I had in 1997 is not what I have now. Now I'm almost speechless talking about it, because this will be the greatest outpouring of God's presence in the earth ever. And we don't have anything to look back. We have types, we have symbols and glimpses, but we don't have words to describe what's going to happen. So we have to understand that this is going to be an awesome thing. So he gave me this definition of sin consciousness, because this has been the one thing that has kept people out of the fullness of their inheritance in Christ. And here was the definition he gave me. So sin consciousness is a greater consciousness or awareness through fear, that means maintaining some form of fear, of what one has been redeemed from, rather than what they have been redeemed into. That, of course, would be Christ and the Anointed One, who is the Anointed One, and the anointing that abides within us. And then that, of course, is received continually in the fullness of it through an abiding faith. That means a conscious decision to exercise faith. I've heard Bill say this many times. You cannot exercise faith and fear at the same time. And consequently, you can exercise faith in some areas for a time, but ultimately now we're coming down to the place where God wants us to abide in him. And so what happens now is, if we allow the leaven of fear to remain, it will consume our whole life. And then our faith will fall down in the other areas. And the devil will see to it, because that's his only hope against us, is if we will consciously exercise fear instead of faith. If you exercise faith, no matter how hard that is in the flesh, in some areas as you're growing, you will come through. I'll tell you, God, love never fails. Faith works by love, and love never fails. And we have to be a people, surely, by now, that aren't moved by what we feel and the feelings and so on. Yeah, they're not pleasant. I mean, I can remember many examples where I was in situations that were, I mean, they looked hopeless. I mean, all I had was God's word. Well, every time it turned out to be enough. But the feelings were not good. And, you know, I just got to the point where when I started to feel that way, I just said, Father, just burn that out of me. Just burn it out. And just grip my teeth and keep walking. And he did. And I still do that. You know, if something gets to me, burn it out. I know there's something in there. And that's all we need to do. And as we do that, he will do it. Because believe me, we can't get rid of the ground of sin and the ground of fear ourselves. If we could have, we'd just discard it and we'd all be perfect, you know, 1 second after we were born again. But the fact is that we're walking this thing out. And the ultimate thing about this is, you know, I just want to encourage people, no matter what you're going through at any time, rejoice. Because God is doing a glorious work in us. And like I said, the days ahead will not be like the days past. And it's his ultimate joy for us to come into rest. And because rest includes a lot of things. We're going to look at that scripture in a bit. But it certainly does include an ability to fellowship with him on a level that you just can't when there's fear. Because where there's fear, there's mistrust. And where there's mistrust, there's a portion of our heart locked up. But those, all the things are coming off, because once we're free and filled with the fullness of God's presence and the fullness of the revelation of his destiny, we are going to impact the world in a very marvelous and magnificent way. So we have to keep our eyes off of ourselves and on Jesus. And when you do that, then he will sustain you. And regardless of what you're going through, you'll have two things. And one of them is peace, the peace that passes all understanding. And two, you will have a deep assurance in your heart that you're in the center of God's will. If you have those two things, you go through hell and out the other side and you'll be fine. That's just the way it is. Without those things, people are getting into some very, very strange strongholds of fear out in the world. And they're just trying to block everything out. There's just a total spirit of denial out there. I mean, of course, when you do that, you're blinded totally. And this is not a good time to be blinded. So again, just to summarize that portion, it's very important for Christians to be in the position that God wants them in, both spiritually and physically. So it's, again, we'll turn over to Isaiah 58. That's right, well, I'm just finishing this. This whole area of sin consciousness is so important, because really, when you're maintaining sin consciousness, you're believing a lie of the enemy. And of course, that's always meant to keep you out of the fullness of what God has for you. So we have to have a greater consciousness of the fullness of our inheritance in Christ and the blood of Jesus than all the lies of the enemy, because we've been redeemed from that mess. And it's extremely important. Okay, Isaiah 58. We're just going to go over these scriptures. Verse 13. If because of the Sabbath you turn your foot from doing your own pleasure on my holy day and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor it, and here's how you honor it, desisting from your own ways. If you really truly want to honor God, you just desist from your own ways, and he'll take care of the rest. From seeking your own pleasure and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord. You know, it's a taking delight in the Lord is a very special thing, and I think joy is encompassed in that. I think that's safe to say. But the fact is, people try to delight in the Lord and maintain their own self-effort. You can't, because it's a full-time job. You know, it's either a full-time job to serve God or serve yourself, but you can't do both. It says, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. Now, that's a whole study right there. You should look that up and find that out. It's magnificent. But I remember when I first got that scripture, you know, I was, to me, I'd better go into this. To me, what it meant was, when he said, I will make you ride the heights of the earth, you know, I guess I was thinking about an airplane initially, because I was probably hearing Kenneth Copeland preach it, and of course he had all those airplane stories. But the fact is, what it means to me now, you know, what, yeah, it did. It did. That was the heights of the earth. But what it means to me now is the fact that you know, we are riding in a place far above all this, the world, the confusion, seated at the right hand of Christ in the heavenly places. And, you know, to me, that it speaks to me that way, because that's the place we need to abide in. It's not a place we just visit once in a while when we get in trouble. We need to abide there, because, again, if the Christian wants to become an elite kingdom trooper or a soldier, then there's only one way to do it, and that's perfect obedience. And, you know, Jesus, of course, was our example. I mean, could he have accomplished all he accomplished apart from perfect obedience? No. As a matter of fact, the way it was set out, he had to walk in perfect obedience, or it would have been a mess. So, but anyway. Let's see. It's extremely important. We've talked a lot about getting rid of self-desire. Again, this is the place where when you're spending time in the presence of God, then you see his light, you're abiding in his light. And then, of course, when he speaks to you, and he speaks to your heart, and you're reading the word, that then the entrance of that word will produce light. I mean, that's the environment to do it in. It just goes in, you know. It's when people get out in the world and they start walking around that it's very, very hard. But if we do that and are faithful to do that continually, then what happens is we will be abiding in his light. We will be abiding in revelation knowledge. And we need that, because revelation knowledge will bring you above all the schemes of the enemy, and it will protect you. It will guard your mind. It will guard your heart. And it's very, very important this last hour. Again, I've said this before in previous teachings, but the forces that are coming against us in this last hour, in his own vain imaginations, the devil is sending his best troops now. But the bad news for him is God is sending his best troops now and the anointing to go with it to devastate that. And we see that both in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm, because we see what's happening over, and we think we've talked about the Ezekiel 38 war. God is gathering the wheat and tares, and he's about to do a devastating number on the devil and all those who are aligned with him. Okay, Hebrews 3. Now again, this just is a sister scripture to the scripture we just read in Isaiah. And it's a very, very strong exhortation. I wasn't going to do this scripture this morning, but God wouldn't let me away from it. So we'll go over this. Starting in chapter 3, verse 12. Take care, brother, lest there should be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. Now, when I read that this morning, what it spoke to me was that what's happening now, and I said this a little earlier in the teaching, but if the Christian maintains fear in their heart, they begin to fall away from the living God instead of drawing closer to the living God. And, of course, all the benefits that come with fellowshipping with the living God, not somebody that's in the Word that's sitting on your mantle, but a living, breathing God. And again, I said earlier, he wants to reveal his character and the depth of his fatherhood, the depth of his love for us. So it's extremely important that we spend the time with God, and then we will not have an unbelieving heart. We will not fall away. What did the scripture say about the end times? There'll be a great falling away. And it's happening now. It said the love of many will grow cold. That means they had to have love in the first place. So it's extremely important. Again, God wants to move on. He wants it to be understood that we are a people who are walking by faith. And of course, faith works by love. And then love is fulfilled by obedience. And it's a cycle. And when you stay in that cycle, you know, you're going to come into the fullness of what God's called you to. So, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And again, there's the danger of sin consciousness. Because when sin consciousness is maintained, and it's maintained by fear, then, of course, sin is remaining, because whatever is not from faith is sin. That's an absolute statement. And it applies to everything, because he says, whatever. And so the point is that we need to be in a place where the light of God is flooding our heart continually, and so that, what did David say? He said that thy word I store up on my heart, that I may not sin against thee. Yeah. You see, these are principles, and if we act on them, then God's power is the one that keeps us. I mean, you can try to be as good as you want, but you'll never get that sin in itself, just doing that in your own strength. The fact is, everything we do from here on in must be empowered by God. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't just a command to say you can do nothing apart from Christ. I mean, just for the purpose of saying, no, you can do nothing apart from Christ. It was because he wants us to do everything in Christ to fulfill his plan. And it's coming down. This is the rubber is about to hit the road. You know, and it's going to be a great time for those who are seeking God. And really, my heart goes out to people who are stubbornly holding to religious activity. But the time is coming, and the rubber is about to hit the road. And it's going to come suddenly. It won't be so suddenly to those who have been seeking God with all their heart. But nonetheless, it will have its sudden impact. But it won't be surprising. But once that happens, then it's going to draw a line. And then we'll go on from there. Okay. Oh, better go on with this. 14. For if we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end, while it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoke me. For who provoked him when they had heard? Indeed, did not all those who came out of Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So you see, it's faith, love, and disobedience. Or it's fear, hatred, and faith, love, and obedience. Or fear, hatred, and disobedience. And that's the worldly cycle. That's when a person is held by the spirit of this world, they will walk in fear, hatred, and disobedience. And so now we have to decide where we're going to stand. 19. And so we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, let us fear, that's a holy reverence, lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. It's not God's will for one of us to come short of our destiny in Christ. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Again, the danger of fear. We need to be walking in faith. If we will unite our faith and our trust in God with his word, then these things will come to pass. And again, we're entering a time where the word of God is going to come to pass. I fully believe, I have a total assurance, that just before we're caught up out of here, we're going to be speaking the necessary things into manifestation, finish the job off, and be gone. That's what I firmly believe that. I've seen glimpses of this, and it's going to happen that way. But we must be a people that God can trust. And we're going to talk more about the importance of words. But the fact is, you know, he's dealt with this for years and years and years, because in at times we can lose it a bit and say things we shouldn't say. And I think I heard a preacher say this once. He said, well, God wants to entrust you with all power. He said, but, you know, if he doesn't deal with you first, you're going to be driving down the freeway, somebody will cut you off, and you'll fling them off into a field somewhere. So it's very important that our hearts are wholly given and filled with the compassion of God. Then we will speak words and carry out actions that represent him perfectly. And then, of course, the power can come, and we can be trusted with that. Verse 16. Oh, no, sorry, I'd read that. Let's go back down here. I'm going to skip over here. Verse 9 in chapter 4. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Again, this whole element of rest. You know, I mean, it's a real pain to walk in self-effort. I mean, not only is it hard, but it's a 24-hour-a-day job. Yeah. And it's like, it's such a contradiction to love God and to live for yourself. And we've dealt with the scriptures, of course, that we don't have that right. Like, it's not a matter of debate. If a person's going to call himself a Christian, then they better have that revelation that we were bought with a price. And that price was the greatest price ever paid for anything. So it's extremely important, again, as the Father brings his people to accountability, that we have a revelation that we must not live for ourselves. Okay, now, verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. And of course, that disobedience was rooted in rebellion. In the dead, we studied Korah's rebellion, and God is coming with a sword to judge all rebellion in the midst of his people. So, believe me, that's going to open things up a little bit and refine things and purify things a lot. And then verse 12, he just gives you the answer to the whole thing. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. If you're concerned about your motivations, just spend time in his presence. They'll become evident very quickly. You can repent and get on with it. Because once these things come to light, the devil won't be one of those dark, shadowy things that the devil kind of keeps hold of you with. It will be come to light, it can be discarded and replaced with the love of God, and then you can become strong in the area you were once weak, and that's God's will. And 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now, there's a revelation that every Christian needs. I mean, you know, we can walk around and do things and think, oh, well, I'm not hurting anybody else. I'm not doing, you know, any harm here or there. But the fact is that God knows everything. And the fact is that if we just come to live in that realization, then we can live freely before him. He's not sitting there with a hammer, you know, going to hit us or cuff us in the side of the head if we do something wrong. He's with us. He's for us. And I mean, in some of the times and the hardest situations I put myself in, he spoke the kindest words you can imagine. And of course, the scripture says that it's his kindness that leads us to repentance. I mean, let me put it this way. He talked to me at times when if I was God, I wouldn't have talked to me. So and it always just kind of melts your heart, you know. and brings you to a place where you can trust him. Because, you know, a lot of us, I mean, it seems like almost everyone, at least to a degree, has experienced living under a critical spirit of some sort. And consequently, it's like there's that reflex action in a person's heart that it just kind of recoils anytime there's criticism or so on. But God's not that way. And when his words come, I mean, they go right to the heart and they heal. And we need to get over our fear of that, and because he is faithful. And, I mean, he's perfect. And it took me a long time to get out of the cycle I'd been in. But I came to the point where I realized it didn't matter, you know, how badly one fouls up. He's there with them. All he wants to do as a loving parent is correct the situation. And even if we have some consequences to deal with, well, we do. But the fact is, he's with us, and he's not there to condemn us, ever. Okay. Now, the next one. Okay, now, we talked about the inner chamber, the importance. And see, when you are faithful to enter into the inner chamber, it will begin a chain reaction in your life. And again, if you could take it on both an individual and a corporate level, we'll see some things here. Individually, it will set you free, and it will keep you in a place of living relationship with God. But it will also cause other things to happen. Number four, a powerful and heavy anointing of total and absolute consecration. Now, again, I'll say it. I don't know how many times I'll say this, but I'm going to keep saying it. The things that are about to come upon us and overtake us are going to cause us to live in a place that we've never seen before. I'm not going to go into this now, but the fact is that I had an experience 5 years ago where I got a glimpse of the glorious church. I mean, the actual daily walking in it. And it was a simple, most practical thing, but it was powerful. I mean, the discernment, it was like, the only way I can describe it right now is to say that, I used to hear this when I was young, that the scientists figured out that most people only use about 10% of their brain. Some, of course, use less. But the fact is, when the church comes into her place of abiding glory, then what is going to happen is there are going to be different effects that happen, not only in us, because we're being raised up to be vessels of impartation to people, but the impartation that goes forth will lead people into things that took us years to come into. And that it's going to cause a chain reaction. That's why I have no concern about the evangelization of the world. Not one. Because I've seen the logistics of God's plan. And when he starts rolling out his unadulterated presence, I mean, it's not going to be a hard thing to overcome the devil. But the thing is, it's going to release faithfulness and obedience in the inner chamber is going to release a powerful and heavy anointing of total and absolute consecration. And when I experienced this, believe me, I haven't come anywhere. I mean, I've been blessed the last 5 years continually. But I've never come anywhere close to that place I was in for those 7 days. we're all headed towards that now. But it's something. It is a place where you want to be in. And that's why I say it's going to be different. And there was this heavy anointing. And it was so heavy that I didn't want to eat and I didn't want to sleep. I actually had to obey the Holy Spirit and what he said. And you know, the days were 20 to 22 hours. No fatigue, no nothing. And the fact is that I can understand why it's going to be a short work. Why I believe. I'm not giving times. It doesn't make any difference to me. But the fact is, when the momentum starts to build in the glorious church, it's going to be a very quick and a very powerful work. And so this particular anointing will be the type of thing that we can impart to people. And when they come under that umbrella. But see, you have to understand that only people whose hearts are given to God are going to come in or be able to enter in. If people aren't cleansed by the blood, they will not be able to enter into these environments. And, you know, this thing's going to be like automatic is the best word I can think. We're just going to be about the Father's business. But I tell you, the devil tries to get in there. He is a fool, but he's also a coward. And the fact is that he doesn't like to have pain inflicted on himself. And keep in mind that it's the Holy Spirit that he's coming face to face with. So these are some of the things to keep in mind. As the times go on, you know, we're going to deal with some things maybe more in depth. But the fact is, we're about to enter into a place we've never entered into before. And that's what we have to keep in our hearts and let God water that seed day by day. Okay, now, five. we all know about the different things that happened in the second day, and particularly from my own experience, the past prophetic movement. And we know that there was a lot of taintedness in the ministry and the ministry of God's word in the words of prophecy. And that's all got to go. God wants to raise up a fivefold ministry that's walking in perfect accuracy. I mean, it's this simple. I mean, if I went to Bill and I said, I gave him a message, I said, well, Bill, could you pick up some milk at 11 o'clock this morning? Well, Bill's not going to misunderstand that. Why? Because I'm standing there in his presence and I said it. But I mean, it's like people say in the church, they'll say a message, then the person gets it and goes out and says something totally different. And so when we're that close to God in his presence day by day, we are just simply messengers who receive the message and deliver it with great clarity. It's a simple process, but it gets all out of whack when people aren't in the right position. And people get out into self-effort and self-glory and self-exaltation in the ministry, but God's coming to judge all that. Everything that is apart from Christ will be judged clearly. Like that scripture we read in Hebrews, he knows everything. Everything will be laid bare. Okay, so there needs to be a necessary healing wave with all this junk from the second day and all the unforgiveness and all these different things. If the people who've been out there before want to enter into the third day and want to fulfill their destiny in Christ, they are going to have to make the adjustment. I mean, to hold for a Christian to hold unforgiveness, there may be something more foolish they could do, but I can't think of it right now. I'm very serious. That opens a door. That opens a door to everything. I was praying about that in a period of intercession a number of years ago, and oh, it was intense. It was 6 months, and it was a certain situation, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot about false prophecy, and I learned a lot about unforgiveness. And so finally, I asked the Father, I said, well, what exactly could Satan do if people hold to unforgiveness? He said, for as long as they hold it, anything he wants to. In other words, he can build any stronghold, any scheme he wants, and ultimately, they will perish. Because Hosea talks about God's people perish for lack of knowledge. Well, for Christians to walk in unforgiveness, they're walking in a deep chasm of a lack of knowledge. Because the first thing we should know is that Christ redeemed us by his blood through no effort of our own. And the fact is we don't have the right to hold unforgiveness. So it's a very dangerous thing. All right, so there needs to be a necessary healing wave. And that will cause these people... Some people will maintain their rebellion, and they will not be able to be used. But other people will come in with a new heart, comparatively, and a new revelation, and join with those who are already walking in this. But they're going to go one way or the other. They can't stay the way it is, because many of the people in leadership that have all this junk in them, they're the ones. That's how a pastor gets into a place where they're controlling their congregation, because of the junk in them. And if they refused, and of course, it just snowballs. And they have to be free from that totally, or they will not be able to be used. And then, again, when these things begin to happen and that third day anointing goes forth, there will be a specific outpouring of the Holy Spirit on shepherds. And what the Father said to me about that was, it will be a release of his compassion into their hearts so they can truly shepherd the sheep properly. Because the ones who don't, they're going to have their sheep scattered. The ones who do are going to have a glorious environment to operate in. Like I said, he's coming to judge everything. So all we have to do in our own individual lives is remain in fellowship with him and obedience, and we'll take our rightful place both individually and corporately. Number six, again, a part of this whole acclimatization and lifestyle of abiding in the presence of God. See, we talk about the glory of God coming into the church. And we talk about the abiding presence, the manifested presence of God. Well, we have to be ready for that. Believe me, I'll go into more depth in this in the days ahead when we are talking more about specific things. But the fact is, we need to be acclimatized. And one thing he said to me was a long time ago, you know, I'm thinking, well, we need to be acclimatized because of all the attacks of the enemy and the spirit of the world and the darkness and all this stuff. That's true. But he said this to me. He said, what many of my people don't realize is they are going to have to be acclimatized to my presence so they can receive me into their midst, so they can receive the blessings I have for them. Because two things come with acclimatization to his presence. And one of them is this release of his presence, of course, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And it's extremely important that we are able to receive the blessings of God and have the wisdom to do what we're supposed to do with them. I mean, basically, this is the bottom line. Whether you're talking about the wealth transfer or whatever, the bottom line is this, all right? Everything that God blesses us with, from revelation knowledge to financial wealth, whatever it takes to get the job done and our part in it, is for one purpose and one purpose alone. Believe me, the residue of any blessing that God gives you will be enough to sustain you and overwhelm you if you're not acclimatized. But the fact is that we need to be in a place where we have his wisdom to operate with pinpoint accuracy. I mean, and it's not just, you know, one or two people. I mean, we're talking about the entire church whose hearts are walking in fellowship with God. So there'll be more on that in the future. But there will be a superabundant release of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And one of the other manifestations that will cause will be chains that were on people will fall off because they'll have light. And, of course, Satan spent years and years and years trying to keep people out of the position where the entrance of God's word can go in, that light can go in and get them free. But to see, these things are going to break down the devil's strongholds. I mean, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and that is going to become an extremely evident truth in this last hour. Okay, and then this really goes for the entire fivefold ministry, but one of the things on the Father's heart for the days ahead is the advent of the true apostles, in whatever way that means. I mean, the way he showed it to me is that there are apostles that are going to be in charge of certain things in the church. So just to give you a brief example, he showed me that, for instance, the office of helps. There will be apostles that oversee the office of helps and cause that to operate. I mean, it's not. There are going to be so many people come into that place and are being prepared now that are walking in faithfulness to God that he is going to be able to establish a true fivefold ministry, a true working fivefold ministry. He hasn't been able to do that. I mean, over the years, you know, a few here, a few there, you know, a man or woman, or a man or woman of God here, a man or woman of God there, that's it. But when this thing begins to run and people come into perfect order, his perfect order, and walk by his spirit, then you see it's going to cause a chain reaction that's going to cause every last element of the fivefold ministry to come into the fullness of that office. And of course, the ultimate aim all along was always to lead each member of the body into the fullness of their inheritance. So we're all walking in the unity of the faith. Simple concept. This second day hierarchy, that if that's not the first thing that goes down, I'm not sure what will be, but that's the stage is about to be undercut from those people walking in their own strength. They fouled the whole thing up. And you know, the sheep are accountable too, because, I mean, some of them have been sitting in their congregation for 20 years, and God's been urging them to move or get out. I mean, he's always speaking to his children all the time, you know. And the fact is, they haven't listened. So, but it's a critical time. And I fully believe, I know this, that any person who truly wants the fullness of God's will for their life, they will get to the right place. But it's a good time now while it's still good traveling weather. Okay, so it's going to cause a chain reaction. And again, you know, these things are going to unfold. I'm not going to stand up here and I could stand up here every day and try and do it. I still wouldn't get it done. I'm not going to try to explain all the things that are going to happen in the glorious church because I don't know. But I'm just telling you that when these things are put in motion, there's going to be an unfolding take place that we are just going to get on this like a surfer on a giant wave, and we're going to ride the glory of that wave until the job's done. So it's an individual unfolding and a corporate unfolding. And then, of course, part of this chain reaction of true working fivefold ministry will be the revelation and the establishment of the ministries of the glorious handmaidens. Now, this is something that's very close to the Father's heart, and Satan, of course, as we know, has worked continually to keep women down. And I just want to mention this right here because it's something that really impacted my thinking as far as the men go, and it's this. I heard this, and it was right from the throne room of God, and it was this. If a man doesn't put themselves in a position to renew their minds each day, or allow the God to renew their minds each day, then somehow, in some way, they will be used to keep women down, whether it's in the family, whether it's in ministry, or so on, because Satan is trying to prevent the fullness of God's plan to come to pass with that. So then, there again, the importance of men to be in that position. Now, I know we're all one in Christ, but nonetheless, you know, there are the individual parts that make up the whole body, and we have to be walking in love toward every part. Now, then, of course, when this thing gets in line, then God will really be able to establish the glorious connections, the divine connections that he desires to. We've seen glimpses of that. You know, I'm a living example of that standing here. I mean, God began to establish these connections back in 98. And at the same time that revelation began to come forth, the first thing that happened was all of a sudden now some people get out there and they're networking everything. Oh, no, we got to get connected with this. And man just took over again. What an abomination. And they may very well be the first to go. Because if you're going to be a true apostle, then you're going to be doing what God tells you to do, when he tells you to do it, and how he tells you to do it, and not just take it, assume. There is so much at stake in this last hour that we cannot assume or presume to do something and call it God. We must stay still if necessary. We must be prepared to stay still forever. And then when you do that, usually you'll get the answer right away. But the fact is we must be a people who are faithful to God. And God is coming to judge every element of self-effort with this networking. And as he's bringing all these people together in true one accord, you see, then he'll be able to establish the divine connections. A divine connection is simply, or a glorious connection, is simply a connection made by the Holy Spirit, by two people or more, in obedience to the Holy Spirit. It's a simple thing. But when people try to put that in their own hands and do it, it's causing a whole, it's a denomination. Who are we kidding? I mean, that's what that spirit is. And it takes a name lower than the name of Christ. And that's what God's coming to judge. I don't have much use for that because it all looks so good. And, you know, then next thing, they're having all meetings and doing all these things. But there's a price to pay for that because all you're doing when you do that, you know, an effort, you're gathering people together and imparting death to them. I don't care how much light they think they have. It's not light. It's death and it's darkness. That's the way it is. And the reality of that, we don't have to be concerned about that. We need to walk in faithfulness and obedience. The fact is God is coming to judge his church. And people need to, it's a very, very great privilege to be put in a position to minister to the people of God. And I don't blame God for judging that. I mean, I don't. I mean, I've always said that if it was me, he could just take me right out because I don't want to do it wrong. I just don't. And I know that the people I'm associated with don't either. All right. So, 14, the wealth of the wicked shall be transferred. See, again, these glorious connections, part of the chain reaction. Then the wealth of the wicked will be transferred into the hands of the righteous, those who dwell in the presence of the Lord, as it says in Isaiah 23. Why those who dwell in the presence of the Lord? They're the ones who are in touch with his heart. They're the ones who are abiding in the spirit of wisdom and revelation and know what to do. I mean, I'll tell you one thing, and he made this clear to me. He said, I'm not bringing the wealth into the hands of my people to let them give it back to the devil again. Not this time. The secret of all this, the revelation, the wisdom, and the finances, everything else is for one purpose. It is to establish the covenant of God in the hearts of the people. And when you do that, not only will the people get born again and set free, they will walk in the fullness of kingdom living. And see, so the glorious church will expand daily. We saw a glimpse of it in Acts, and we are going to see the fulfillment of it before we leave here. And 15, I won't go into this much now, but the end of all foolish controversies. I'll just finish with this. This is an excerpt from a writing ahead. The days ahead shall bring forth the end of all foolish controversies and the spirits of self-exaltation behind them in the midst of all those who truly love God. The Father has shown me that he will call to account every idle word spoken in the midst of his people. Every word spoken shall be exposed immediately for what it is due to a great release of the revelatory gifts. That's the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits, in the body of Christ in these days. And thus shall the unwholesome word be removed from the midst of God's people. And then, of course, the scripture, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace or impart grace to those who hear. And of course, they went on to say, this shall become a divine reality in the midst of all those who truly love God. This will result in a great acceleration of the spoken word coming to pass. Whether that word was spoken in faith and love or in fear and exaltation or hatred, Jesus will finally be given his rightful lordship over our words in the days ahead. It is the great responsibility of every child of God, and most certainly the apostles and prophets, of course, as this chain reaction begins, to let no unwholesome word proceed from their mouth. I'll just close there. Father, we just thank you for this word going forth today, and we just thank you that you're moving us forward rapidly according to your most holy purpose. And we give you all the praise and honor and glory for all that you've done and continue to do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.